16, verse 19, Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you bless your word today. And I pray, God, that you would use us. God, just a willing servant, fill us with your power, your spirit. Help me to preach what you put in my heart. And I pray in Jesus' name that your will would be done today. Amen and amen. Hail is a little or very little used word in the correct sense in our day. It's in our society, hail has become something of a curse word, a byword, maybe an adjective. You may hear people use it as a curse word and slang. However, I want you to know that in our day, even though the word is misused, the place hell is still real. Hell is real, and according to the Lord Jesus Christ, real people who die without Christ die and go to hell. You say, preacher, I don't know about all that. I don't believe that. I want you to know this morning, hell is real. The Bible said of that rich man that he died and he lifted up his eyes in hell. The Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes. And the Bible said he was being in torments. And my question to this morning, as we've read this passage, my question is this. If men go to hell, who cares? If men go to hell, who really cares? And I want to say to you this morning that we ought to care if people go to hell. I heard a story recently of an atheist who said that if she really believed what we Christians say that we believe, that she'd be on her hands and her knees begging people every day, as long as she could, in tears, to get saved, because that place called hell that we describe as we read the Bible is such a terrible place. She wouldn't want anybody to go there. Yet we say we believe in hell. We say we believe in the damnation that Jesus talked about as eternal damnation, punishment, eternal fire. Jesus warned of hell fire. There's people that laugh at these terms today. Somebody said, are you one of them hellfire preachers used to preach about hellfire? Are you one of them? I want to say to you this morning, I'm still one of them hellfire and brimstone preachers. The Bible still teaches hellfire and brimstone for those that are without Christ. But if we really believe that, why don't we make a more concerned, a more focused, a more concerted effort to reach those that are lost. And if you're here this morning, I want you to know that hell is real and you ought to care, because if you're not saved, you're going there. It doesn't matter how much money you got. We've seen in the story, there was a beggar that was saved. He went to heaven. That's Abraham's bosom. At that time, before Christ had risen, Abraham's bosom was worth the boat of the departed saved people. But there's another place that, listen, if you're not saved, you don't know Christ, you're going to wake up in a place called hell. You need to realize that this morning. If you're not saved, there is a place called hell. Jesus talked about it. He talked about the fire of hell. It was an everlasting fire. Everlasting damnation. He talked about hell fire. He talked about the damnation of hell. He called it the resurrection of damnation. He talked about it as a furnace of fire. He called it the fire that shall never be quenched. It's the fire that's not quenched, and their worm dieth not. He said there was wailing and there's gnashing of teeth. He said there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He talked about the torments, the rich man talked about how he was tormented in this flame, the place of torment, the place of outer darkness, and it's everlasting punishment. I want you to know this morning, it's time that we stop and we realize and we stop and focus. Hey, young man, hey, young lady, hey, older sir, ma'am, hey, kids. Listen, if you're not saved and you die without Christ, doesn't matter where you went to church, doesn't matter who your parents was, doesn't matter how much money you had, doesn't matter how big your house was, doesn't matter how you fared sumptuously every day. If you die without Christ, you're going to wake up, you're going to lift your eyes in a place called hell. I want to say some things, reason why we ought to care this morning. Number one is because hell is a fearful place. Hell is a fearful place. It's read in verse 23 and verse 24 and verse 25, and then again in verse number 28, he talked about it's a place of torments. He said he was tormented in this flame. The word torment comes from the word has the idea of a rack or an instrument of torture by which one was used to divulge the truth. It was an act. It was where they would take someone who was a criminal, and to get the truth out of them, they would torture them. And they would get them to the point where they would break and the truth would be revealed. See, you can sit here this morning. Are you listening to me? You can sit here this morning and you can fool your wife. You can fool your husband. You can fool your mom. You can fool your dad. You can fool your preacher. But one day, if you die without Christ, you're going to wake up in hell and the truth will be revealed. The truth will be revealed. It will come out. You won't fool God. Torment is torture. It's an acute pain. I can't think of anything worse than the pain that I had in my shoulder this past year as I went through spinal stenosis. And I'm telling you, it was an intense pain. But can I tell you that in comparison to the pain of hell, hey, listen, that was not a drop in the bucket of what hell will be like. Hell is a place of torments. In verse 4, he said he was tormented. It means he had intense pain. He was anguished and tormented. He was in distress. He was grieving. He was sorrowful. Jesus said this in Mark 9. Listen how Jesus said hell was so bad. He said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. He said it's better for thee to enter into life, halt into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And he said, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What Jesus is saying, if you've got something in your life that's keeping you from getting saved, you'd be better off to get rid of it. If it's something in your hand, cut your hand off. If it's something where your foot goes, cut your foot off. If it's something you're looking at, whatever it is that's keeping you from trusting Christ, he said you're better off to get rid of it. You're going to go to hell one day. You're going to wake up in the place where he said the fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not, there's weeping, there's wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth, and you're going to be there forever. Revelation 21:8, Jesus is talking about the lake of fire, which hell will one day be in. He said, the fearful, why are they fearful? Because they're the unbelieving. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Are you listening this morning? And Jesus said there's a place of fire and brimstone. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But he said, rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a lot of people that are scared of a lot of other things and a lot of other people. Friend, can I tell you the one you ought to fear this morning is the God of heaven that's able to cast your soul into an eternal damnation in a place called hell, the lake of fire. Hell is a fearful place. Somebody said, well, me and my buddies, we're going to go there and we're going to have some fun. Can I tell you, you'll not have no fun in hell. He said, we're going to party it up. No, you won't. You have no friends in hell. Hell is the prison of despair. Let me say something about hell. Hell is the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love nor peace nor day one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, no pardon, nor grace, nor water. Oh God, what a terrible place. The pains of the lost, no human can tell. No one moment's ease. There's no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there. We know, for God in His Word hath told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swears, haters of God, Christ rejectors while here on earth trod. Murderers and gamblers, drunkards and liars will have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel and mean, yes, more than humans on earth can tell, our torments and woes of eternal hell. Hell is no fun place. Hell is a fearful place. Number two, hell is a fiery place. In our day, there's been some question by the so-called scholars. And don't get mad at me, but even the famous evangelist Billy Graham has even been quoted as saying that he was not sure if there was real fire in hell. Well, I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but I'm going to take Jesus' word on it. Jesus said it was fire, everlasting fire, hell fire, the furnace of fire, the fire that's not quenched. The rich man said that he was tormented in this flame. Are you listening to me? You may doubt it, you may dispel it, you may try to dumb it down, you may try to change it, but you'll never change the fact that there is a literal hell and it's a literal fiery pit. Several years ago, I was out knocking on some doors and come across a man who tried to argue with me. And you know what he had to do to get rid of the fire in hell? He had to change his Bible. He tried to water it down. He tried to take it out. You know, people try, listen, they try to avoid the fact of hell. And I'm telling you this morning, the fact is that the Word of God says there's a place called hell. And if you die without Christ, there'll be no more fun. There'll be no more family. There'll be no more party. There'll be no more good times. It's a place of torment. It's a place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. I'm telling you this morning, there's a place called hell. It's a fiery place. A fiery place, a flame, a blaze. That's what that word flame means, is a blazing place. And Jesus said the fire is not quenched. When I was in high school, I got up one morning, the wood stove was out. I was going to build a fire. I was stupid. I was going to try to do it the quick way. I said, the fire is out. I'm going to get me just a little bit of gas and a styrofoam cup. I'm going to coat the wood, and then I'll give it a second to die out, and I'll throw the match in there. I won't need nothing else. What I didn't know was there was a little tiny spark of coal in the back, very back of the stove. As soon as that gas hit it, it blew up and singed, man. I tell you what, I got an instant haircut. But I'm going to tell you something. That blaze was no comparison to hell. Can I tell you, that's an instant blaze. But I'm telling you, hell is a constant blaze. Hell is a constant place of fire. Unbearable, unbelievable, undescribable pain. It's a place of unanswered prayers. The rich man, he was saying, hey, Lazarus, I just want to, would you send him to dip the tip of his finger? I just want a little bit of water. It's unanswered prayers. It's an untold population. Can I say something about hell, this fiery place? There'll be professors there. Matthew 7, Jesus said there's going to be many that say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not? There's going to be professors. There's going to be workers. There's going to be servers in churches. There's going to be some preachers. There's going to be some church members. There's going to be some good people in good families that sit on the church pews on a regular basis, and they're going to say, hey, didn't I? And they're going to find out it wasn't about what you did, it's about what Jesus did. If you reject Jesus and you don't receive Jesus, you don't repent of your sins and turn your life to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance, hey, you're going to be one of them professors that winds up in a place called hell. There's going to be the worst of the worst there. You say, well, it won't be so bad. My buddies will be there. We just read in Revelation 21:8, he talked about the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. I tell you what, it's going to be a rough bunch of people in hell. You think about, listen, there's going to be some religious people in hell, there's no doubt. Jesus talked about there's going to be many. But I'm telling you something, you think about the wickedest, most vilest person. You think about the child abusers. You think about those who molest children and kill them, and you just think about the worst scene that you could think of. And can I tell you, if you go to hell, you're going to be right there with them. You try to avoid them now. You go places where they aren't. Most of you would get on the computer and try to find out, listen, who's going to live in this neighborhood? I don't want to live in the neighborhood if it's got some kind of pedophile in it. And I tell you, when you die and go to hell without Christ, you're going to live with them forever. The worst of the worst will be there. There'll be some procrastinators there. What did Felix say in Acts 24? What did he say? Come to me, Paul. Come back at a more convenient season. We have no Bible record. Felix ever went back. Right. Procrastinate. Man, I'm talking about people who sat on church pews. And listen, they knew they needed to get saved. And Satan, listen, hey, Satan don't mind if you know you need to get saved. He'll tell you, yeah, you can get saved. What he'll tell you is just do it next time. Just do it next time. Wait till next week. Wait till you're 30. Wait till you're 35. Wait till you're 40. Wait till you're old. Have your fun. And I tell you something, both not thyself and tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What is your life? It's even a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. Gone. You'll be 20 today and 40 tomorrow, I'm telling you, friend. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, hey, you can go out of this house today and you can be wrapped around a tree before tonight falls. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, are you trying to scare me? Hey, if I thought I could scare you and get you saved, if I thought I could scare you to see that your loved ones was going to hell and you need to get them and you need to drag them and you need to compel them to come in, if I thought I could scare you and get you to believe in that place called hell, I'd do the best I could to scare you. It's a fiery place. Procrastination will be there. Watch this. There's a place of unending part. Hey. There's partings. When we bury a Christian, we say we didn't say goodbye. We said we'll see you later. But can I say to you, when you bury somebody in the grave that's lost, you're telling them goodbye if you're saved. If your loved ones are lost, you don't say, I'll see you later. They're not in a better place. Are you listening to me? You don't get down to the end of time. Hey, listen, after you die, somebody pays penance or somebody makes you, well, my good outweighs my bad. That ain't how it works. It's you trust Christ or you go to hell. Right. And when they die without Christ, they go to hell. And the Bible describes it as there's a great gulf fixed. Nobody can get in, nobody can get out. a great goal. That's unending party. There'll be loved ones there you'll never see again. Can I say, if you want to spend eternity with them, you better win them while you can. Right. What I'm asking this morning is, if men go to hell, who cares? Hell is a fearful place. Hell is a fiery place. But I would say, sadly, that hell is a forgotten place. You see, in our day, not many people want to talk about hell. Not many want to think about the reality of hell. There have been books written about hell. There have been TV shows made about hell. There's a lot of speculation about hell. But most people in the church don't want to talk about hell. We want somebody to pump us up, tell us how good we are, pat us on the back, have a great week. But I got news for you. You can have a great week and still die and go to hell. You need to know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. You've been born again, washed with the blood. You need to know that before you die. Hell is a forgotten place. Not many preachers still preach on it. Even when I was growing up, I remember preachers like Oliver B. Green. Probably one of the most preached topics he ever preached on was a place called hell. I remember Oliver B. Green, every time he'd get done, and he'd get done praying, he'd say, God, save that soul that's nearest hell. You know why? Because hell was real to him. He preached on hell. I remember Mae Jackson preaching on hell. I remember the old-time preachers, Harold Siler, and listen, different ones, all down through the years, the old-time preachers, they preached on hell. And that's why we were branded as hell, fire, and brimstone. But you go in the average Baptist church, I'm not talking about the Methodist, I'm not talking about the non-denominationals, I'm not talking about the Presbyterian, I'm talking about the Baptist. You go in the average Baptist church and you can sit for probably a year upon year and never hear anything about hell. But I'm telling you, there's a place called hell, and I don't care what anybody says, Jesus preached more about hell and warned more about hell. And I want to say something to you. When he was warning about hell, most of the time he was talking to the religious crowd. Not to put, matter of fact, look at right here in our text. Back up to verse number 14. And the Pharisees also who were covetous. That's who he was talking to. He was talking to the Pharisees. And listen, primarily when Jesus spoke about this place of hell and the weeping and wailing and gnashing, he's talking about to the religious crowd. I tell you, we need some preachers that are preaching on hell. We need Sunday school teachers to teach about hell. Can I say hell's not the most popular subject to the seeker-friendly movement, and we're living in a day and age where everybody wants to please people. Hey, can I help this morning? I'm not here to please you. I'm here to warn you of the wrath to come. I'm here to warn you. And I want you to be able to go outside and warn somebody. Hey, you need to realize the reality of a place called hell. Hell is the most, almost, forgotten place and the most forgotten topic in our society, in our churches, and even in our pulpits. It's funny how what Jesus majored on, we minor on. Jesus came to this world to seek and save that which was lost. What did Luke 19:10 said? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know how he sought saving? He warned them of the wrath to come. Are you listening to me? You go to the doctor, and if you're sick, if you've got a cancer, a good doctor is going to tell you, hey, you've got a cancer. We've got to cut it out. You've got something wrong with you. We've got to treat it. And if he can help you, he's going to help you. But he can't help you until he tells you what's wrong with you. Right. That's what Jesus did. Jesus would expose. He would show somebody their flaw. He would say, look, hey, I got some bad news. You got sin in your life. But I got good news because he said, I came to seek and to save you. See, you don't have to go to hell. That's the fact. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus died for, listen to me, you're listening to me real good, listen to me real good. Jesus died for every soul that has ever went to hell. It wasn't Jesus' fault they went to hell, it was their own fault. Amen, friend. The Bible said in 1 John 2:2, and he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Somebody said, well, that's the world of the elect. That's the world of the saved. Well, let's back it up in context. That's 1 John 2. Let's go back to the last verse of the chapter. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Are you listening to me? That's the context. Love not the world. He's talking about the wicked world. Are you listening to me? Jesus died for every man. The Lord's not slight concerning his promise that some men count slightness, but he's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any, it's not his desire. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sir, if you die and go to hell, it's your fault. You've heard the truth. You've heard that Jesus died for your sin. You've been raised in church all your life. If you die and lift your eyes in hell, it's your fault. It's not God's. You won't be able to point your finger at God and say, I didn't have a chance, or God, you didn't die for me. Hey, no, he died for you. He shed his blood for you. Are you listening to me? There's a real place called hell. Let me say something. Hell's a factual place. Scientist evidence. Jacob was watching the show the other day. My friend, Brother Chris Simpson, was interviewed on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, one of them shows. They did a show about hell. And our friend, Brother Chris, was interviewed. It was very amazing to me that they even allowed his perspective, because most people don't want to know about the facts. But thank God for old Brother Chris. Brother Chris got on there and told him what the Bible said. Told him there's a real place called hell. But do you know, just like the Bible, hey, listen, scientific evidence says that there is a fire in the center of the core of the universe, of this earth. Scientific. They say that the sun, are y'all listening to me? Everybody talks about how hot the sun is. You can look this up. You can Google. You can ask Siri. You can Google this, all right? They say the sun is about 9,900 degrees. Is that right? Roundabout. But the scientists, listen, they estimate that the center of the earth is 10,000 degrees. Stop thinking about that. As hot as the sun is, and we know we can't get near the sun without getting burned up. Estimate this, that the Bible talks about hell as being below. It's under us. I don't have time to run all those verses throughout the Bible. But hell, hey, look, I'm telling you this morning, as we stand here, somewhere, listen, several miles below our feet, there are people that are in a ball of fire. And they've been there since they died. And they're conscious of it. They have memory. That rich man's there. He's remembering. Can I tell you, Felix didn't get saved. Felix is there saying, hey, it's a good time. I want to get saved. Hey, Paul, come back. But I want to say, friend, it was too late. Right. What about Agrippa? Almost got persuaded to be a Christian. He's probably saying, hey, Paul, hey, I don't want to be almost. I want to be all together. Right. Too late. A lot of church members. I'm telling you, there is a real place. Science tells us that the temperature of the core of the earth's center, 10,000 degrees. Think about in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Y'all remember in the book of Numbers, chapter number 16, Korah rose up against Moses. Korah wanted to be a rebel. The Bible talked about how it said that they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. What was the pit? The pit was hell. And said the earth closed upon them and they perished among the congregation. Didn't say they went down dead, it said they went down alive into the pit. Right. You look up that word pit is hell. It's the same word used for hell. Hell is the pit. And Korah and his family, those that stood up against Moses, they went with it. They went below. I'm telling you, friend, below our feet, you don't want to think about this. This is not real conscious soothing. It doesn't make us feel good. But I'm telling you, somewhere below your feet this morning, hey, listen, in the center of this earth, there are people that are screaming, and they're weeping, and they're wailing, and they're gnashing their teeth, and they want out. And listen, they want another chance. They want a dip of water. Just a tip on the tip of the tongue. Just a little bit. Hell's real. Notice Jesus said in this story which we read this morning, Jesus said he's spoken to of a certain rich man. A certain, not just any, but a certain rich man. And then he said of a beggar named Lazarus. No, I could say this. I could say that when you go to hell, your name's forgotten. Doesn't matter what your name is, doesn't matter how rich you was, nobody knows your name in hell. Right. Jesus just said it was a certain rich man. But I can also say this. He said, a certain beggar. And he named him. He said, Lazarus. Jesus knows your name if you're saved. And then he said this in verse 24. He talked about Abraham. Abraham was a real man.
Abraham was a historical figure. In verse number 31, he talks about Moses and the prophets. Historical figures. Hey, can I say, hey, listen, if there's a certain rich man, if there's a beggar named Lazarus, if there's a man named Abraham and was real, hey, listen, if there's a man named Moses and the prophets that are real, what on the name of the earth's surface would make you to believe that, listen, the place and the people that Jesus said went to that place were not real? Hell is real. All of these are real. They're facts. So why would we ever believe hell was not real? Jesus spoke about real people who really die and go to a real place, real fire, called hell. It's a real place. There's a real warning given. There's real suffering. There's real torments. It's real punishment. It's real damnation. And it's going to be real long because it's eternal. And can I say to you this morning, two places to go when you die. It's either heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. No holding place. Are you listening? I want you to think about it in your mind. Look, you read your Bible through, you'll never find purgatory in the Bible. Some man made that up so the Roman Catholic Church could make money. Are you listening to me? It's a lie out of hell. You're not going to purgatory when you die. You're going to either go into heaven and be in the presence of God and with Jesus forever and ever like He said, or you're going to lift your eyes in hell and you'll be in torment in the flame forever and ever and ever. Understand, this is serious. This is worse than paying taxes. This is worse than having to go to work in the morning. This is waking up and going to a real place called hell. I'm telling you, you need to get saved before it's too late. I'm sounding out the warning. I'm trying my best. If real men go to hell, who really cares? Do we really care? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure the church even cares anymore. Let me say this. Hell is a forever place. Verse 26, he said there's no way. He said there's a great gulf. He said those they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come thence. He said there's no way out. Can I say that the time that you go to hell, you'll be in hell forever. There's no possible way to get out. But those in hell will get out. Listen, temporarily. This may surprise some of y'all. You're going to get out temporarily. You know why? Because you're going to be judged and sentenced at the great white throne judgment. You're going to get out temporarily, only be sentenced and cast into the lake of fire. You say, who's going to be there, my buddies? Well, the Bible said the devil and the beast and the false prophet and the demons and all of lost humans from all the ages. Nero's going to be there. Napoleon, all those. Hitler will be there. Are you listening? And they'll be there forever and ever. And ever, for all eternity. You know what the surprising thing is? Jesus said in Matthew 25:41 that this place wasn't even created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. You're going to go to a place where you're not even wanted. Are you listening to me? You're going to go to a place where you're not even going to fit in because it wasn't created for you. And you're going to be there forever because you rejected every opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Listen what the Bible said in Revelation 20. Listen clearly. Revelation 20, verse 10 through 15. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. You need to understand, they weren't judged for whether they were going to heaven or hell. They were already in hell. They were judged for their sentence in the lake of fire. And verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And listen, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Didn't matter how much money they had. Didn't matter what their position in society was. Didn't matter their clout or even their character. What mattered is, did they know Christ? Was their name written in the book of life? The question I have for you today is, does anyone care about hell? Anyone? Does anyone really care? If men go to hell, who cares? If men really go to this place called hell, I can't begin to describe. Sir, ma'am, I can't describe to you how bad hell is. I've tried. I've done my best. I could talk about the fire of hell, and I could talk about how they talk about it's a place of darkness, outer darkness, and how that they say that the hottest fire is a clear fire that doesn't even put out light. I've seen race cars catch on fire. You can't even tell they're on fire, but people's running from it. Because certain types of fuel burn so hot that you can't even see the flame. And so in my only estimation is I'm guessing that that's sort of the way hell is. It's the fire's burning, but you can't even see it. It's burning. But he said he was in a flame. And the Bible talks about his darkness, and there's weeping, and there's wailing, and gnashing of teeth. I'm telling you, man, you can't begin. I mean, one of the worst sounds I can hear is somebody scraping their fingernails on a chalkboard. And you think about the weeping and the wailing. Can you think about the screaming in hell this morning? You go into some hospitals and you go into different wards of the hospitals, and thankfully they got a lot of medicine nowadays that calms people down. But there's even people, I've been in hospitals and I've heard people that was in pain, and I've heard them just, and they was hurt in pain. And I tell you, listen, the pain they were in does not compare to what hell's going to be like. I can't describe. Can you imagine? Listen, just do this. Build a fire. Build your bonfire. I don't know, it might get a couple hundred degrees. Stick your hand over the top of it and hold it there until you can not bear it anymore. Maybe even get you a thermometer and see if it's in a couple hundred degrees. And then figure out, if it was 10,000 degrees, how long you could hold your hand there. Are you listening to me? The only way I can compare this, it's carnal, but I used to drive a race car, and the exhaust pipes off those race cars used to get between 1,600 and 1,800 degrees. And I mean, if you get close enough to them, you didn't even have to touch them. It would singe your hair just getting close to them. That's 1,800 degrees. Multiply that out to 10,000. And let me say this. This is not a place of annihilation. It's not poop, I'm burning, I'm gone. It's eternal damnation. Are you listening to me? It's not boom, they burn up, they're gone. No, it's they burn and 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 they burn. And while they're burning, they're remembering. That old preacher, that old crazy preacher down there in Walnut Cove told me about this place, and I was too stubborn. I was too proud. I thought he was crazy. Do you care? Listen. If hell's real, do you care enough to get saved? Quit playing games? Do you care enough to get rid of your pride? Your procrastination? Do you care enough to get saved? Let me ask you this. If men really go to hell, do you care enough? If you're saved, do you care enough to share the gospel with those around you? Do you care enough to give a tract out? Do you care enough to shed a tear in prayer over the lost who are all around us? I got news for you, friend. There's lost people all around us. You don't have to go far. You can walk out that door and in 2 minutes you can be talking to lost people. Do you care? Most of us, we cry out more of a puppy dog than we do about lost people dying and going to hell. Oh, my puppy died. My puppy had to go to sleep. God bless you and your puppy, but there's people who are dying with an eternal soul, and they're going to a place called hell, and they're going to die, and they're going to go there forever and ever and ever and ever, and they're going to be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. My question is, do you care enough to shed a tear about them? You care enough to knock on doors, tell people about Jesus? You care enough to support missionaries? Get the gospel around the world? Do you care enough to come to church and support the church that's trying to tell people? Does anybody care? I'm saying if hell is real, and it is, if real men go to hell, does anybody care? That's my question this morning. Do you care? While the world rushes on in its folly and sin, and millions go down in despair, to reign where demons are shrieking within, if men go to hell, who cares? While people of earth are forgetting the Lord, and church pews are empty and bare, there comes to my heart these pitiful words, if men go to hell, who cares? Yes, the Father who sent His dear Son to this earth, all our sins and our burdens to bear, He has counted the cost. He knows what they're worth. If men go to hell, who cares? And the Son who was willing to die on the cross, the burdens of lost men to bear, the One who has suffered for all who are lost, if men go to hell, who cares? The Spirit, the Bride, the true Christians say, come, for all who are lost is their prayer. The demons in hell send a warning back home. If men go to hell, who cares? Who cares? Who cares, O Lord? Who cares? While the world rushes on in sin to despair, if men go to hell, who cares? Can I say to you this morning, people in hell care? You're not going to belong with it, but in verse 27, that rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. He said, I got five brethren. That rich man, when he got to hell, Brother Eric, he was more concerned for lost souls than a lot of preachers. He said, won't you go tell somebody? Won't you go tell somebody? Go tell my brethren not to come to this awful place. I'm in a place of torment. Go tell my brothers. Go warn them. Verse 27, you read it on. And he said, listen, if somebody from the dead would come and go tell him. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, they wouldn't believe Moses. They don't believe Moses and the prophet. You know what he's saying? They don't believe the word of God. They're not going to believe somebody raised him from the dead. Are you listening to me? This morning you say, well, I'd believe hell if I could. I've heard preachers say, well, if I could open up the earth and let you see into hell, you believe. Let me say this. If you don't believe the word of God, you ain't going to believe nothing. If you don't believe the word of God, you're going to hell. The word of God is a place called hell for you. We laugh about it. Sadly, people tell people to go there. Use it as an adjective, an adverb. Oh, we had a blank of a time. All that's cool is, can I tell you something? Hell's a real place. Hell's a place of little fire. I'm telling you, I got people I know that have gone there. You got loved ones. You got friends. You got people you work with every day. You got family members. Understand, when they die, they're not going to Disney World. They're not going to live in a bed of gardens. When they die, if they're not saved, they're going to hell. When you die, if you're not saved, you're going to hell. There's an alternative. I'll give you the good news. Jesus did die for your sins. Jesus did make a way for you not to go to hell. If you would believe the word of God, if you would trust in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid it all. All to Him, that's what I want you to play. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin that left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. If you go to hell, it's because you chose to go there. Let me say this, Christian. Let me just admonish you. Don't let anybody go to hell unwarned. Like that atheist said, if we really believe the hell's real, Why don't we get on our knees and in tears at least pray for them and try to tell them and warn them to flee the wrath to come? If men go to hell, do you care? Father, I pray that you take the message and bless it. Use it for your glory. Work in the hearts and lives of people. Maybe be somebody here this morning that's lost, needs to be saved. God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God, not because I said it, but because it's your word, I pray that, Lord, you would convict and draw. Help them to see the seriousness of being saved before it's too late. Don't have time to play church. Don't have time to try to deceive people. Don't have time to procrastinate. Hell's real. God, help us as a church to have a burden for those that are lost. God, help us. God, in Jesus' name, have your will and way this invitation. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. As we stand,